explicitly, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would never perish. You've heard that today. Folks, we've been in church, not just in this building, but we've been here to talk about the love of Jesus Christ. The fourth Sunday of Advent, hope, peace, joy, love. The brightest candle, the Christ candle. We get the chance to light that tomorrow at 5:15. And notice how bright. If I turned all the lights out and completely darkened this place, and you would see the progression of the light as we've put fire to each one of these. This morning, I want you to come on that journey with me, and I want to show you love in a unique way about the manger, because I want you to see three things about Luke chapter 2 that I think not only is pertinent for Christmas, but if you see these three things, you will see the cross. Everything that happened at the manger pointed to the empty cross and the empty tomb. Everything. From the birthplace of Jesus to the way he was wrapped to how he came in the world, everything pointed to the empty cross and the empty tomb. So walk with me. Bethlehem is the city. Caesar Augustus has now instigated a taxation. That's nothing unusual. The lavish roads and system of the whole area was built by Rome. It was built by the taxation of the people. You see, the emperor could tax or take a census at any time he wanted for any reason and take whatever you had if he liked or so enjoyed. This required everyone had been born in Bethlehem, which was the prophesied birthplace of Jesus, the lineage of David. Joseph would have to return to. So this little city of Bethlehem in Judea, of a small population, all of a sudden now increased 100 or perhaps 150-fold. You couldn't just walk through the streets of Bethlehem. You went through like this. It's almost like going to the shopping malls the weekend before Christmas. You're like this, walking around people. Even much more in terms of crowds. And yet down the street, in a little place perhaps cut out of rock, and then inside that old rocky wall of mountain was a little area cut out and cut out deep, and there, hay was a manger, and the little baby was being born in that place, that stable, that stinky, dirty place. And that little baby was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So this morning, in your outline, from the manger to the cross, as we talk very briefly, listen closely. The first thing I want you to understand is something about this taxation. The taxation decreed. The taxation decreed. You see, Caesar Augustus wanted this tax in a very selfish way. He wanted this tax to build Rome bigger, to make it the bigger and best that it's be. The Roman Empire, and so the world, the Roman Empire, was to be taxed, and everyone was required to come back. Caesar, a very selfish man, to say the least, a very wicked man. But look what God did. God took what man evil, Caesar, and worked it for good. God took Caesar's plan that Caesar wanted the money in a selfish way and to tax the people, and God was working good in it because he was orchestrating the birth of his son Jesus Christ, his only begotten son. Let me say something to you. John 3:16, only begotten. We memorize that. We say a lot about it, but it says much more than the English language can tell us. That word only begotten comes from one Greek word. It is pronounced monogene. Mono means one. Gene literally means born. It means one born, one time only. It does not refer to the firstborn. It refers, in fact, to the very fact that Jesus is the only son God would ever have. Folks, ain't not going to be another Jesus. And as he told Thomas, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And that seals it for me. You can't get to heaven through Muhammad. You can't get to heaven through Joseph Smith. You can't get to heaven through Hare Krishna. And I could go all the way down to several little G-O-D-S we have. The only way you can ever come to heaven is through the power of Jesus Christ and his shed blood for you on the cross. And it started, or it continued, should I say, at the manger. So this taxation, what man meant for evil, God meant for good. It was the fulfillment of Scripture. In fact, of what Luke chapter 2, what we've read about. And the very fact that the prophecy of the Son of David literally would be born in Bethlehem, according to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. God was working, once again, a miracle as he brought his only Son into this world. So it was a taxation, decreed, that God used for his good. The second thing this morning is the trip endured. The trip endured. Verses 4 and 5. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David. Nazareth and Bethlehem. Nazareth and Galilee. Bethlehem of Judea. Ladies and gentlemen, a 70-mile trip. And the last time I checked the scriptures, Mary is great with child. Translate that, she's just about to have this baby. 9 months. And ladies, we men, I can identify with you having kidney stones. If that's that pain, I'm with you. But can you imagine going 70 miles in rough terrain, 9 months pregnant, and more than likely, we're not told this, but the donkey was domesticated during that day, as well as the camel, and probably one of those two animals, most likely a donkey, we're not told that for sure, but either way, can you imagine ladies riding on a camel or a donkey, 9 months pregnant, going up and down and around in the heat of the day, and guess how long it took you to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem? 5 days. Didn't have planes, didn't have Greyhound. It's a wonder she didn't have the baby halfway there. And then there was another problem about this trip. You see, all along this path, all along the road, there sat robbers and thieves. Why? Because the people were returning to Bethlehem to be registered. As a result, the wealthy, the poor, the middle class, all of them came the same route. Matter of fact, I can show you a little bit of that route. And that next slide for me, y'all, should show right after the scripture. There you go. More than likely, they went this way. But from Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem of Judea, 7 miles, literally, or 70 miles, literally. Rough, rough terrain, just short of the north of the Dead Sea and coming down to Bethlehem. They had to endure the trip, but they had to endure the dangers. We sometimes think of the manger, oh, this was real sweet. Jesus comes in on a donkey, and he comes in with Mary. Yeah, they've been traveling 5 days and nights. They're exhausted. They go to the innkeeper. The innkeeper's not a bad guy. He was overwhelmed. He didn't have enough room for the people that were coming into town alone, staying at his inn. And he says, you know, I don't have any room. I've got 5, 10, 15 people in a room. But I got this old manger down here right at the end of the street where people stable all these animals. Can you imagine alone the animals that were stabled in Bethlehem at this time? All of our mangers have a little sheep and a cow. Folks, I think it was grazing country. I think there were animals everywhere. People how'd they get there? See, they didn't have their SUVs. Most of the SUVs in that day and time had humps on them or a saddle. What did they do with them? I suspect there were a bunch of stables. Well, one or two. And I suspect there were animals everywhere. Last time I've been around a bunch of cows and horses. Love the animals, don't like the smell. And Jesus was put in a feeding trough. You believe in that? The King of Kings the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, is put in a feeding trough. But you know something, folks? Hell itself couldn't stop that stable from being there, because that's where God said he's going to be born. They had a 70-mile, five-day excruciating trip to get to the manger. They had to get through people. They had to get through the animals. And I can just see Mary laying down on the hay. Thank God we've arrived. The morning Connie had Michael, we were going to Northside Hospital. Trust me, there was an accident on 285 that morning. When we got to the hospital, Connie said, thank God we have arrived. I said, yes. But can you imagine? It was the trip endured, folks. Wow. But then I want you to see something else this morning. It's more than simply a trip. It's more than the travel and the troubles they had on their way. In the third place this morning, it's called the time fulfilled. Verses 6 and 7. So it was that while they were there in Bethlehem, the days were completed, her pregnancy finished for her to be delivered, and she brought forth that firstborn. Believe it or not, the same terminology is used in John 3:16. Literally the only born of God, Jesus Christ, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger. We were talking this morning in Sunday school about this understanding of swaddling clothes. And what the word actually is translated as is the word cloth. And Jesus was wrapped tightly. Oftentimes we remember that and we think of babies being born today with covers over their hands to keep them from scratching their face and protecting themselves. Or they're wrapped in a tight blanket to mimic the tightness and warmth of the womb. But the Bible says cloth. Now come with me to the cross for a minute. When they took Jesus off the cross after his death at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, the Bible says that they wrapped him in a cloth. It's called the deposition cloth. They got on an old wooden ladder cut out of wood that was twisted and tied together by a rope, come up to the top of the cross piece, put it around the bottoms of his arms, and dropped him around, and then wrapped him in that cloth. Go back to your original language. Go back to the Greek. And you will see the parallel of the word in the manger, wrapped in swaddling cloth, and a burial cloth. What was left at the empty tomb of Jesus when the tombstone was rolled away? You could look inside. The body of Jesus wasn't there, right? What was left? Remember? Cloth. Guess what? Same root word. You see, you can't separate the manger from the cross. There's no way that you and I can separate the very manger of Jesus Christ and the fact that God became man. We studied that this morning. You have heard it this morning. The word became sarx in the Greek, flesh, body. And God emptied heaven because of his love for you and me. He emptied heaven totally of himself. His entire deity of who God is was poured into Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is full man, full God, and they prepared him for burial at the very moment they put him in the manger. From the manger to the cross. The Bible said it in Galatians chapter 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We're becoming heirs, and we're heirs, and become heirs of the kingdom of God. And because you are sons, God had set forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Pater, Daddy. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son of God. And if a son, then an heir. And ladies and gentlemen, if you know Jesus Christ, when you took the Son, you got it all. When you took the Son, you got it all. Don't ever forget that. And it's the manger. It's what happened at the manger and what went to the cross. Jesus Christ, very preparation for His death when He was born. And He went to a cross, wrapped in that cloth, put in that grave, and it was split wide open. And now today, He stands at the right hand of the Father. What's He do? He intercedes for you and for me. Wow. Wow. I know I've shared with you a lot of children's stories, but they're all true. This is one that, in fact, is very true. The dad was coming to watch his child, and it was a school play. And the title of the play was Christmas Love. And usually in the school systems, you didn't hear, you always hear Happy Holidays or this kind of thing, or in a secular world, should we say, not Merry Christmas. And so he was really amazed to see or hear the words Christmas Love as a program title. So he sat there, and the little ones got up in the first grade or whatever, and they were doing their play, and they were singing that song, Christmas Love. I'm not going to sing it for you right now, but it starts off something, you know, you hold up the letter C is for the Christ child, you know, and you go through the word Christmas. And you spell, by the time the song's over with, you start here and you spell Christmas Love. Well, the little ones had their thing. They were instructed after, when they sing each letter, to hold it up. So the program was going good. C-H-R-I-S-T. Then got down to M. Well, this dear little girl, bless her heart, she did something different. She didn't realize, but she had taken the M and turned it over, unbeknownst to her. So as proud as a little six-year-old will do, she held that W high, C-H-R-I-S-T-W-A-S. And all the people began to snicker a little bit, you know. They all laughed, whatever. And then they were going to separate a little bit so they could spell the word Christmas Love. And they separated. And when they separated, there was a hush that fell over that entire audience. No laughing. Because it spelled Christ. What? Was. Love. And ladies and gentlemen, He still is. He is the only way to heaven. And if you're here this morning, and your faith is in anything other than the shed blood of Jesus, you are not a child of God. But many of us in this place have trusted Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. It started long before time, ladies and gentlemen, in the beginning. It came to a manger. And for 33 and a half years lived, ministered, and then died on the cross and came forth out of that tomb. From the manger to the cross, there is one word to describe it, and it's that candle we lit this morning. It's love. Love. My wish for you this Christmas is literally that you will experience the love of Jesus Christ like never, ever, ever before. This time of Advent, where we have shared together in the Advent season of the coming of Christ, has become very meaningful to you in terms of not just waiting until the moment, but throughout the month and even before. And as I take you far beyond the manger over these next few months, Easter's early this year, and we're going to walk through what Jesus Christ has done for us and His miracles as we move right to the cross and the empty tomb as we come to Easter. There's a play out today that asks this question. The question is asked in the play, what did Joseph do the day after Christ was born? Well, it's an interesting question. We know that. And the day when Jesus was born, of course, I'm sure he helped Mary and the baby, and he did everything possible to make things comfortable to them. But what about, have you ever thought about, I think like this sometimes, folks. What about the day after Jesus was born? What did Joseph do? And this play actually builds upon that and imagines that Joseph, being a carpenter, begins making a crib for Jesus. And as he does, he begins to think to himself, like this, he thinks that when Jesus was just a baby, if they treat him like this now, knowing he's the Son of God, what will happen when they really find out and understand this man and this baby is the Son of God? And the play goes through building on that whole plot all the way through in terms of what would people, will people think knowing that he's the Son of God? And at the end of the play, the lights go off, and all you can hear is the sound of a hammer hitting wood. Folks, I know the answer to that play. You do too. They crucified. We crucified. And every sin we ever commit crucifies him over and over again. What did he say last week? Be of good cheer. I've overcome it. I've overcome the world, and God has given us that privilege through Jesus, that his sin of our life can be forgiven. That's love, folks. That's Christmas love. That's the manger. That's Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we got to start at the manger. I know, Lord, far beyond that, to see the beginning and where the very fact of the birth of your Son, but to start at the manger. We can't stay at the manger. We must go to the cross and the empty tomb. And it was all for the purpose of the redemption of mankind, all based upon one thing, for God so agape, God, your love, Father, that agape, that unconditional, in spite of, no strings attached love that you have for us. Lord, I thank you. You don't love me because I'm short or fat or this or that. You love me because I'm your child. And everyone in here, Lord Jesus, is that same way. You love us not because of who we are, but in spite of who we are. Lord, there's no way I can know what all the baggage people bring into this worship service. But if they're like me, they got truckloads of it behind them they brought in with them. Father, just teach us every day to come and put that baggage at the foot of your cross, that you're a sovereign God and you have an answer and you're going to take care of it. But the most important thing, Lord, we need to understand is your love. It is unconditional. So, Father, help us to do what it says, to start at the manger, then go to the cross. This morning as we close this service, you've heard the gospel through music, the spoken word, through our instrumentalists, through all that's been done. And now we have a moment to respond before we go. The response of the shepherds was to bow down in worship. A couple years later, the response of the wise men at the young child Jesus was to worship. I pray our response this morning was to worship. That little chorus that Pam led our choir in a few minutes ago that just simply says, start at the manger, then go to the cross. Is that what you've been doing through Advent? Foundation at the manger to go there, but then I want you to get up from there from me and join me as we move to the cross. Whatever's on your heart this morning, whatever needs to change, whatever new commitments you need to make in your life, this altar is open for prayer. So is that altar where you're sitting. And if you're in this invitation, you just want to sit there and pray, you sit there and pray. If you need to come down here and pray, you come here and pray. If you need to talk to me, you talk to me. Whatever's on your heart this morning, I want you to respond. Let's don't leave here the way we came. We can't, folks, because we've been in the presence of God. Would you stand very quietly, please? Karen's going to lead us in that little chorus. Start at the manger, than go to the cross. Sing that with her, and sing that as our commitment to God this morning about love. Join us. Let's sing this one together.